The Soul Covenanting with God by Theodorus Frelinghuysen. Joshua 24:22. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Beloved communicants, this day have ye renewed your covenant with God, and chosen God as your portion, promising that you will be his servants and handmaidens, that you will walk in his ways and keep his commandments. To this you are witnesses. In point, then, are the words of our text. And although I am not Joshua, I may yet adopt his words and say to you, Ye are witnesses concerning yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. Follow, then, the example of the people of Israel, and say, We are witnesses. In this our chapter, we have a recital of Joshua's last address, in which he in a moving manner renewed the covenant made with Israel at Sinai, and sought to impress upon their minds the obligations which they had assumed to acknowledge the Lord their God as their God, and to serve and fear him. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Verse 15. It appears that there were among the children of Israel a promiscuous multitude, who had not come to a conclusion whom they would serve. Joshua, perceiving the evil of this, said to them, Choose you this day whom ye will serve. No longer defer your determination. I propose it this day for your decision, whom you will serve, whether the God of your fathers or the gods of the Amorites. Do as seems good to you, knowing that it will be at the peril of your present and future happiness that you make an improper choice. Would you know my choice? I announce it to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 15. Joshua was not indifferent. The same was the case with the people of Israel in the days of Elijah, when the people would not resolve whom they would serve. How long, was the language of the prophet, halt ye between two opinions? 1 Kings 18:21. Come, I pray you, to a conclusion whom ye will serve. The people chose the true God, repeatedly promising uprightly to persevere in his service. We will serve the Lord, verse 21. This he now reviews. This he recalls to their minds, urging it upon their choice in the words of our text, And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses, etc. Two things are here to be noticed. Number one, the interrogatory proposal of Joshua to the people of Israel. Joshua said to the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. Number two, the assent of the people by way of response, and they said, We are witnesses. The distinguished person here spoken of is the pious Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, Moses' minister, who, after his death, conducted the people into the promised land. A man of whom it is said that he was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. Deuteronomy 34:9, so that the spirit of Moses came upon him. In a word, he is that godly and excellent man upon whom the Lord bestowed the honor of being the governor of the people of Israel, of introducing them into the sacred land which the Lord God of their fathers had promised to give them as a pledge of heaven, a type of Christ, and hence called Jesus in the New Testament. Acts 7:45, Hebrews 4:8. Joshua was first called Oshea, but Moses called him Jehoshua, Numbers 13:16. That is, the Savior of the Lord, because ordained by the Lord as an instrument in conferring great benefits upon his people, and delivering them out of the hands of the Canaanites, their enemies. But especially because in achieving this deliverance, he would be an illustrious type of him, who, with the greatest emphasis, would be denominated Jehoshua, or Jesus, Matthew 1:21, Hebrews 4:8. Joshua here exhorts the people to serve the true God only. The people promise to do so. Joshua renews the covenant and appeals to their engagement and assent. Ye are witnesses concerning yourselves. We find that men of God, prophets and apostles, sometimes not only appeal to heaven and earth, but also to men themselves, and rightly, since they possess a conscience, conjunct knowledge or feeling, and thus are conscious of their own acts. In what precedes, they had chosen the Lord. This he here recalls to their thoughts and reminds them of, saying, "Ye have chosen the Lord to serve him." That God who had led them forth from Egypt, the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, who had solemnly made a covenant with them and proffered himself to them as their God, him they had chosen. Hereby is expressed a covenant transaction in which are to be recognized two parties. The first is the Lord God, as the all-sufficient one, entering into a covenant with man who is destitute of all things. As good, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him, Lamentations 3:25. As almighty, I am the almighty God, Genesis 17:1. As faithful, which keepeth truth forever, Psalm 146:6. As true and unchangeable, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, Malachi 3:6. The second party are the elect, viewed as miserable, condemned, helpless, Ezekiel 16. Unequal parties, truly, and yet, oh, wonder, these enter into covenant with each other. On the side of God is the demand, the proffer, and the promise. Thou shalt be to me a people. Serve me only. Observe my ways, commandments, statutes, ordinances, and I will be a God to thee. On the sinner's side are the assent and surrender. He receives God as his God and highest good, chooses him, as we find it here, engages and yields himself to him. It is as if the Lord said, "Seek ye my face." He that enters into covenant with him says, "Thy face, O Lord, I seek," Psalm 27:8. He solemnly declares that he will be the Lord's, pledges himself to him, Isaiah 42:5. In a word, he saith, "Behold, here we are, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." This is distinctly represented to us, Deuteronomy 26:17. "Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice." And verse 18, "The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people." In the covenant, the believer chooses God as his portion, the Lord Jesus Christ as his prophet, priest, and king. This is the mutual agreement which constitutes the essence of the covenant. But for what purpose had they chosen the Lord? To serve him. A service is spoken of as belonging to God. To serve one sometimes signifies to perform that for him to which he is himself incompetent. This, however, cannot here apply, for God, who made the world and all things that are in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, Acts 17:24 and 25. In this sense, we can do God no service. Eliphaz, therefore, so earnestly inquired, "Can a man be profitable unto God?" Job 22:2. Sometimes it signifies to do that which is acceptable to him. Also, to do that which we owe and are under obligation to do. These two significations are here included. God can and must be served by honest endeavors to perform all that is pleasing to him, and therefore man, as a rational creature, and still more as one who stands in a covenant relation to him, is in the most powerful manner bound to obey the Lord God and keep his commandments. We hence read of serving God acceptably, Hebrews 12:28, and of serving the Lord, obeying his voice and not rebelling against his commandment, 1 Samuel 12:14. This they had chosen, to serve the true God, to do his will, to prefer his worship. This Joshua summons to their remembrance, for the people answer and give their assent in our second part. We are witnesses. We have chosen the Lord. We will never forsake him. There were doubtless many in Israel who did this only in an outward and feigned manner, according to Psalm 78:36 and 37, or who rested too much on their own strength, and therefore Joshua warned them with respect to the nature of the service which God requires. Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, verse 19. The words of the text might now readily be employed for the discovery of the multitude of those who are strangers to the covenant, and also to denounce upon them divine threatenings, and inspire them with terror. But I shall assume a different tone, and rather avail myself of the present opportunity to invite and constrain you. The more so for having read of a Scotch divine, who, preaching upon the words, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve," besought his hearers with tears, nay, declared to them that he could not descend from his place until they had without delay complied with the divine requirement. Although I cannot profess that I am characterized by the zeal of that worthy man, I desire to follow him, if not with equal steps, yet at a distance. Attend, then, my hearers, whoever you be, while I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. Choose. Here are two masters. Whom will ye serve? Many will say, I will do that hereafter, but few, I will do it immediately. There are two masters in the world, but ye cannot serve both. Each one has his kingdom. They are mortal enemies. The one is the Lord Christ, the other the devil. There is not a third, and you, whosoever ye may be, make a resolute choice. Whose servants and handmaidens will ye be? Whom do ye receive as your master and ruler? Do ye choose Satan, the god of this world, to do his will, to live in your lusts? Enjoy then your portion to the full. Rejoice in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Love the world and all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And as you are marked by the deed, be not ashamed to permit it to be known. Acknowledge and profess the devil to be your Lord and Master. But no, you will say, that is too gross. It may not be. We are Christ's. Christ is our Lord and King, although we live to ourselves, although we do the will of Satan, although we live a wicked carnal life. The devil is not our King. Christ is our King. I reply, he is not. Hear it from the mouth of Paul. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Will ye not have Satan for your master and king, and not have your portion in outer darkness, where shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Renounce then your allegiance to him. Forsake his kingdom, abandon his service, pass over into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, choosing God for your master to serve him, receiving the Lord Jesus as your sovereign king upon his own terms. expressly, formally, and devoutly must you enter into covenant with him. As to this, we have commands and instances in the Word of God. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our Levites and priests seal unto it. Nehemiah 9:38. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Isaiah 44:5. The making of such personal covenants is practiced in the Church of Scotland, in addition to the national covenant which nobles and common people, ministers and hearers have solemnly pledged themselves to observe. A form of the personal covenant we find in The Christian's Great Interest by William Guthrie, to be entered into especially on occasion of the observance of the Lord's Supper. It runs as follows, quote, I am here, O Lord, this day to engage in a highly important transaction for which I have of myself no sufficiency. I therefore beseech thy help. The business in which I would engage is to enter into a covenant with thee, and I pray thee, O Lord, kindly to be a party in the engagement. Say not to me, as in Psalm 50:16, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? But although thou shouldst, thou art righteous. But I plead thine own word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. O Lord, naught so afflicts me as thine absence, and knowing naught but sin that can restrain thee from entering into covenant with me, I desire with one of old to say, that which I know not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Job 34:32. O Lord, I have thy promise, and come in thy mercy, and pray that my sins may be blotted out for Christ's sake, and let me approach to thy sacred table to obtain the fulfillment of my strong desires. I call heaven and earth to witness that I prefer thee to all the riches of the world. Help me this day in my preparation to enter into covenant with thee. For of myself I am insufficient for this great undertaking. Thou hast said in thy word that thou wilt receive all that are willing to come unto thee. Now, O Lord, I pray thee that in thy kindness thou wilt be gracious to me, and let not this fast day be observed in vain. But take to thyself the honor, and be not angry that I make this record, since it is intended to manifest my willingness to enter into covenant. O Lord, I beseech thee not to come unto me at thy table in anger, but in thy mercy manifest unto me thy favor. But rather than thou shouldst be absent, come unto me with chastisements, if but it be not in thy hot displeasure. I cannot express my insufficiency for an approach to thy table, but like Queen Esther, when about to go into the presence of the king, I cast myself upon thy mercy and say, I will go, and if I perish, I perish at thy feet. End quote. Communicants, have you ever thus entered into covenant with God? Hearers, I this day call heaven and earth to witness that I have sought to incline you. I take the holy angels and yourselves to witness. Yourselves are witnesses. I take the pious who are here present to witness. I take this book, this New Testament, this pulpit in which I stand, this house in which we are at present assembled to witness. Let it not appear strange to you that such inanimate objects are appealed to as witnesses, for we see the same was afterward done by Joshua. And he took a great stone and set it up under an oak. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Verses 26 and 27. Thus also say I, this book, this pulpit, this edifice, this house of God shall be witness. But if all this be of no avail, then shall I, to my grief at that great day, be compelled to witness against you. But ye, true believers, who fear the Lord, and who have so often chosen the Lord for your God, today has it been your privilege to renew your covenant with him. Let it hereafter, then, be your great care that you trample underfoot and forsake the world. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is included in the covenant into which you have entered, and which this day has been sealed to you. Be God all my delight, my rest, my joy, my fear, the object of my service, your motto. Seek henceforth also more zealously to serve the Lord, and in all things to live acceptably to him. Serve him with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2. For this purpose have you been delivered out of the hands of your enemies, that you should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, all the days of your life. Let your service henceforth be more spiritual, more fervent, and more upright. We beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Romans 12:1. And let the partaking of the Lord's Supper lead you with a pious soul to say, I have this day partaken of the sacrament and engaged to be the Lord's. O Lord, make me a faithful servant or handmaid, and suffer not Satan to entice me into sin, for thou art my God, and I am thy servant or handmaiden, solemnly consecrated to thee. Make me faithful, and help me to do all things in the strength of the Lord Jesus, for without him I can do nothing. Amen. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things reformed.